There is something deep down inside all of us, I think, that responds to sacrifice. There's something human that really wants an opportunity to do something heroic.
God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you now about Holy Week. I want to tell you the story of a man of the 20th century, totally committed to putting God first, a man whose humble life combined muscular Christianity with radiant godliness. We don't see enough of that these days, do we? Muscular Christianity with radiant godliness. A man who walked away from fame and glory to respond to God's call to China as a missionary. Weeks before Pearl Harbor, he sent his wife and two children to Canada, and he was sent to an internment camp in 1943. Well, you may not have recognized the man's name yet, but if I told you that he was a man who might have won a gold medal in the Olympics, you would know immediately that I'm speaking of Eric Liddell. And I've just come across a little leaflet by David Mitchell of the Overseas Missionary Fellowship called I Remember Eric Liddell. He says that when he was sent to the internment camp in 1943, he was walking slowly under the trees near the camp hospital, beside the open space where he had taught us children to play basketball and rounders. David Mitchell was a missionary child, of course. As usual, he had a smile for everyone, especially for us children. The athlete who had refused to run on Sunday in the 1924 Olympic Games in Paris, but who later won the gold medal and created a world record in the 400 meters, was now, 21 years later, at the age of 43, reaching the tape in his final race on earth. We knew nothing of the pain he was hiding, and he knew nothing of the brain tumor that was to take his life the next evening on that February 21st, 1945. I'm skipping a lot of this. He says, sent to this same camp in, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Wei Xian, in August 1943, with many other missionaries' children, I will forever share with all the other hero worshipers of my age that vivid memory of the first sight of the man whom other prisoners described excitedly as the Olympic gold medalist who wouldn't run on Sunday. Eric Liddell stood out among the 1,500 people packed into our camp that measured only 150 by 200 yards. He was in charge of the building where we younger children, who had already been away from our parents for 4 years because of the war, lived with our teachers. He lived in the very crowded men's dormitory near us. Each man had a space of only 3 by 6 feet. He supervised our daily roll call when the guards came to count us. One day a week, Uncle Eric would look after us younger children, giving our teachers, all missionaries of the China Inland Mission, and all ladies, a break. His gentle face and warm smile, even as he taught us games with the limited equipment available, showed us how much he loved children, missing his own so very much. You remember that he had sent his wife and children to Canada just before he was captured and put in concentration camp. Eric Liddell helped organize athletic meets. Despite the weakening physical condition of people as the war dragged on, the spirit of competition and camaraderie in sports was very good for us. Young and old watched excitedly, basking in the aura of Olympic glory, as Eric Liddell ran in the race for veterans, his head thrown back in his characteristic style, sailing through to victory. Besides basketball, soccer, and rounders, Eric Liddell taught us his favorite hymn. I was thrilled to find that one of my favorite hymns was one of Eric Little's. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. These words were a great comfort to one of our missionaries who was not only separated from her husband throughout the war, but whose son was accidentally electrocuted by a bare wire running to one of the searchlight towers. Eric Little often spoke to us on 1 Corinthians 13. That's the great love chapter. And Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. These passages from the New Testament clearly portray the secret of his selfless and humble life. Only on rare occasions, when requested, would he speak of his refusal to run on the Sunday and his Olympic record. Not only did Eric Little organize sports and recreation throughout his time in internment camp, he helped many people through teaching and tutoring. He gave special care to the older people, the weak and the ill, to whom the conditions in camp were very trying. He was always involved in the Christian meetings, which were a part of camp life. Despite the squalor of the open cesspools, rats, flies, and disease in the crowded camp, life took on a very normal routine, though without the faithful and cheerful support of Eric Little, many people would never have been able to manage. You and I need all the help that we can get in today's world. Help from models of our own century. We need heroes. We need examples to imitate, to see how they followed Christ, what set them apart from others, how their faith was put to the test, how their humble obedience affects thousands whom they never dreamed would hear their names. Lord, teach us to follow you faithfully, and through this week, to contemplate the meaning of your cross and resurrection. And I hope that you won't mind if I also mention five other young men of this century. Another generation from Eric Little, but young men who had made exactly the same decision as he had, to do the will of God. A willingness to be a corn of wheat like Ragland of the 19th century and Eric Little of the early 20th century, the first half of the 20th century. There were five American missionaries in South America. Their names were Jim Elliott, Pete Fleming, Ed McCulley, Roger Udarian, and Nate Saint. Very ordinary guys, very down-to-earth guys, exuberant guys, strong, young, with everything before them, everything going for them. But the day came when a simple opportunity was presented to them to take the gospel to some people who had never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Of course they would do it. Of course they would go. It wasn't the sort of thing that most of these five had to agonize over. Maybe some of them did, but I know that my husband, Jim Elliott, didn't do any agonizing. It was just instant response. Here was something he'd been praying about that God would send him. The point I'm making is that these men had made a lifetime decision to be totally committed to putting God first. And their lives, I think I can say, combined, like Eric Little's, muscular Christianity with radiant godliness. Now, they weren't walking away from fame and glory, as Eric Little was. They were outstanding men in their college days. All of them had many gifts. They were, in a sense, much more ordinary than Eric Little, but they responded to the same call from the same master. What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? It means self-giving and taking up the cross. Well, these five men went into the edge of what was considered Alka territory, savage territory. an area from which no white man had returned in living memory. Lots of people had gone in there looking for oil and rubber and gold. They had never been heard from again. So the men went in there, and they were speared to death. The world was amazed. At lunch today, we were talking about the fact that there is something deep down inside all of us, I think, that responds to sacrifice. There's something human that really wants an opportunity to do something heroic. We are not presented with opportunities for heroics in everyday life. But what was it that made those five men, and Eric Little and Ragland, what we would call heroes now? It was very simple, very humble obedience. And so in this Holy Week, I ask you to look at the cross, to take your stand beneath the cross of Jesus, and to determine to take up that cross and follow him.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.